looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome, everyone. Hello, hello. I'm Lisa Berry, host of Light on Living. I'm so happy to have you guys joining us today because we are tackling a topic that I don't think not one person in this whole big giant world would be exempt from. And why I love bringing you people and guests to share with you on just to share their lives and what they're doing and inspire you is because really my end goal is to give you reasons to feel better. That's the tagline for the show. You guys have heard it before. And I know that when I woke up this morning, I wake up and I'm grateful for the things that I have and I look forward to things. But sometimes there are things that I wake up and I go, oh, not this again or not that again, or I've got to deal with this, or oh, I shouldn't have done that. And there are things in my life that I would like to change. And that's scary because sometimes you think, gosh, it's so much easier to just to stay where I am. But then you think of the pain that sometimes that brings, because sometimes we are doing things that we don't want to be doing, but they're the best that we can be doing. And right now, you know, this is the time of the year that we're all thinking about how can I have a better year next year? How can I feel better? Really, that's the thing. So I'm bringing today an awesome guest. I'm so in awe of the strength and courage that my guest has had to find within himself and then find the support, because he himself is a transformation coach. He's a personal trainer. His name is Corey Fair, and he is here with us today and sharing with us incredible stories and strength and courage. So welcome, Corey.
Thanks, Lisa.
Hello, hello. Corey, this is a big thing. Do you share that belief that, you know, a lot of people wake up and think, God, I really want to change this, or I want this better in my life, but then they can't, or they don't know how?
I think there's a lot of factors that go into that. Fear of the unknown, fear of their own potential. So used to being comfortable the way they are. And everyone's different. Everyone's got a different story, a different situation. And I just know for me, I always had an excuse for everything. I suffered with chronic pain. After my surgery, I got addicted to pain pills and then got really bad depression and anxiety. And I just got, comfortable living such a miserable life. And it just all depends. Like I said, everyone's got a different story, a different situation. You have to become accountable for your actions or nothing will ever change. August 11th, 2018, that's the day I looked in the mirror and realized that I was the cause of all my own problems and took back the control.
I love that. That's actually something you said was so powerful right there. You got comfortable living a miserable life. And I want to go into that story a little bit, because when you say, getting comfortable living a miserable life, when we are living a miserable life, do we know it? Or I know everybody's a little bit different, but like, did you know that you were miserable, or did you just think, this is how I'm living?
Yeah, I knew I was miserable. I knew I had so much more potential deep down inside, but the power of addiction is, until you've experienced it, you have no idea how truly powerful it can be. And when you're suffering from mental health and addiction, it's just, to take that step into recovery, it's huge. It's very, very huge. It's very, very scary. And you have to admit that you have a problem, and nothing will ever change until you do. But taking that first step, like admitting that you're powerless over your addiction, like that's very, very scary. And that's a very huge step to take. And that's the first step to recovery. Everyone has to do that and then start working on themselves from there.
Well, did you know you were addicted, or did somebody tell you?
Yes, I knew years ago that I had a problem. I knew deep down inside that I had a problem, but I never, like I said, I never admitted it to myself like I did on August 11th, 2018.
Was this the thing that you, I like that you said, you know, you had an excuse for everything? Because I think the excuses at the time seem very real to us. Like, no matter what our addiction is, those excuses are like, no, this is why. And it's, if it feels so right, does it? Like, at the time when you're making quote unquote those excuses, are that you're validating it. But are we hanging on to those excuses?
You know, like, as a drug addict, we rationalize everything. So for me, again, it was like, well, I'm depressed, so I'm going to get high. I have anxiety, so I'm going to get high. I have chronic back pain, so I'm going to get high. Just an excuse for everything. And that's why nothing ever changed for me. And, you know, so many people are like that, whether they're struggling with, you know, their weight, or they hate their job, or they hate their relationship. You know, they just get comfortable there and they come up with excuses, you know, not to change. And they're just shooting themselves in the foot by doing that. Like, you have to take a really good, hard look at your life and, you know, accept whatever your situation is and make some changes.
Did you love yourself through it, like, before?
No, no, absolutely not. I hated myself. And yeah, you know, people struggling with addiction, whether it's drugs or alcohol, yeah, you do not love yourself. And now that I'm, you know, happy and healthy and clean, I do love myself. So, you know, I go to the gym, I eat healthy, I read, I journal, I help other people. It's just, you know, being positive and productive all day long, because I do love myself now. Back in addiction, you know, I still did some of that stuff, but I, you know, I poisoned my body with the drugs, and that is not loving yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to share with everybody that you've been a personal trainer for about 15 years. So you literally were, you know, doing these wonderful things for your body, going in and working out and keeping strong and motivating others. Yet you had this non-self-love going on in your own world. I know, like, they often say that we teach what we need ourselves. And do you find that you were offering a lot of like love and support to other people's because you so badly wanted it, or you just, was that just how'd that work out?
No, not really. In my addiction, I isolated myself big time. Like, I have family and friends who know now that I'm in recovery that they had no idea that I was a drug addict. I would just you know, hang out by myself in my house and isolate myself. And yeah, that was my life for several years. Even to go out to the gym or to the grocery store or just out in public, like, I had a ton of anxiety, and it was because of the drugs. And yeah, that's why I isolated myself for so long. But I started working out when I was about 18 and fell in love with it right off the bat and just became hooked, like, pretty much from the first workout. And thankfully, that has been, you know, one of the main things in my life that has remained constant over the years. And I still love it today as much as when I started when I was 18. And, being in the gym, it is by far my best therapy. And if I didn't have that in my life, I have no idea where I'd be at. Like, even in the depths of my addiction, being really, really depressed, really bad anxiety, like, I would still work out. I did miss some workouts because of my mental health, my addiction, but not that many. And it definitely pulled me out of some very, very dark times.
So there's two things huge in there. We'll talk about how can somebody try, like, identify that they are having an issue. Maybe, like, number one of them might be isolating themselves, like, just to be able to do their choice. They're eating, they're overeating, they're binging, they're drugs, they're like anything, like, they're isolating because they don't want any people to know. But I love that you said, like, the workout was your therapy. And how important is it to always just at least maintain one form of something that's good for you, no matter what kind of addiction you have? Like, how, like, scale 1 to 10, I know you're gonna say 10, but, like, what does that do for you to be able to have something, even if you're in the middle of addiction, that can help you pull you out of it?
Yeah, and that's one thing I talk about a lot when I'm coaching is, you know, there's so many things in life that we can all be passionate about. I got lucky. I found my passion in helping other people after I got clean. I did a Facebook post about my mental health and getting clean, and that's I all of a sudden got all these positive messages, and it was like, holy cow, this feels good. I might be onto something here. And basically, that's how all this got started, getting back into personal training and being a life coach. And I absolutely love helping other people, and that is my passion. Not everyone, you know, not everyone goes to work. They're not passionate about their jobs. However, I encourage everyone to find something that they are passionate about, even if it's for 20 minutes a day. It could be knitting. It could be cross country skiing. It could be hiking, climbing mountains, whatever. Just spend 20 minutes a day doing something that you absolutely love. And that way, every day you have something to look forward to. And for me, obviously, I'm also passionate about the gym, and I do that 6 days a week. And because, you know, I go to the gym 6 days a week, I get to look forward to that every day, and it definitely helps with my mood.
Yes. Oh, that's so true. Everybody knows this. I have that way about my cats and a cup of tea. It's like my feet. I'm like, I can't even wait. That's so okay. There was something big there. Hold on. Oh, okay. This is a big question. Big, huge question. And it might be different for everybody, but I don't want to call it a confession or an admittance, but do you think it's important that everybody who does have an addiction and they've decided to make a transformation, that they should publicly come out with it? Like, you know what I mean? Not a confession. I don't mean that, but you know what I mean? Like to share with people like, hey, I've had this, I'm struggling.
Honestly, Lisa, in my opinion, I think that is a very good thing because, you know, now I have absolutely no problem talking anywhere, anytime to anyone about my mental health and addiction. And, you know, those of us who do struggle with addiction, there's a lot of shame and guilt involved. And, you know, I was that way for years and I held that stuff in. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I isolated myself. And now that I'm happy and healthy, I just don't care what other people think. And, you know, I do a lot of stuff on social media about my addiction, about my mental health. And just by getting that out in the open and talking, you know, talking openly about that stuff, I feel much, much, much better about myself. And just by me talking openly about it, it helps other people.
Yeah, you mentioned that. The big thing is about shame and guilt. Like, I think that's where I'd be if I had an addiction. I'm sure I do something like I probably have an addiction to cats, but if I really, you know, have like an addiction and that's, I feel shameful about it or something, but, and I post it, how would one deal with negative feedback? Have you had anybody be harsh with you or that, you know, it was like,
I haven't had any negative feedback about my addiction or mental health stuff.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
I've literally had thousands of messages and they've all been super positive. I have had a couple people make some negative comments and some negative messages about me being a life coach because can be a touchy subject depending on who you are. But other than that, like mental health and addiction, I've had nothing negative.
That's nice to hear about the compassion. You know, I would like to use that word there. Compassion to say, wow, good for you. You've made a choice to get transform your life. Like you literally, you've experienced a transformation.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
That is so cool. There's so much to unwrap on this one. What I'm wanting to do is make sure that anyone listening right now, whether it's themselves or they're recognizing that. And so, hey, that's a great question. If somebody's listening and they're like, oh, wow, I have this friend who I think has an addiction or a problem, would you suggest, like, would you wish somebody would have came to you and talked to you and helped you? Like, should they do that or should they?
Depending on what the addiction is, like there's so many addictions this day and age, you know, it could be internet, sex, gambling, porn, Facebook, like there's so many addictions and there's obviously different degrees of addictions. You know, an addiction to drugs or alcohol, it's very, very, very hard. Like the person has to be ready themselves. It doesn't matter if, you know, your husband, your wife, your kids, your aunts, your probation officer, your boss, it doesn't matter if those people want you to get help. Unless the motivation is internal, it will never, ever work. So everyone has to be ready on their own terms. And, you know, like, I get it. Family members care for their loved ones, and they're pushing them, they're forcing them. They're saying, oh, you have a problem, you need to get help. You should go to detox or rehab or this or that. All that is doing is pushing the addict or alcoholic down even further. And that's just nothing but negativity. That just adds more shame and guilt. And that is a really bad thing to do. So advice I give to people who have loved ones or friends or family who are struggling, I tell them to educate themselves about addiction, because it definitely is a very complex disease. Educate, like, find out everything there is to know about the addiction, and then find out why their loved one is struggling. Really try to understand why they are doing the drugs or alcohol, because as alcoholics or addicts, you know, we're hurting inside, and we do the drugs, we do the drinking to cover up the pain. Like for myself, just for an example, like when I was struggling, you know, I'd have depression, I'd have anxiety, I'd have chronic back pain, and then I'd take a handful of pills, and 20 minutes later, poof, it's all gone.
Yeah. I can see getting addicted to that, because you're what you're doing is reaching for a better feeling. Like, you're not thinking, oh, I want to get high on the pills. You're thinking, I just want this pain to stop in my back.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and I think I love that you're expressing to people, like, to be gentle with these people. They don't need to be. I love that you said that. They're not here to be. You don't shame them into it and make them like, don't you love me and you should change and fix this and don't you love yourself? Because at the moment in time, they're not really feeling that love for themselves, and they're just like, God, I just wanted to feel better. And so, yeah, you're offering so much help and support here. We've got just about a minute before we sneak off to commercial, but when we do come back, I really would love for you to share with people, like, this would be something that I would really want to know too. How can we tell, or where do we know when something is a habit versus an addiction, and where that line is, that even if it is just a habit, if it's bad for us, because I'm thinking habits lead to addiction. So we're going to sneak away to commercial, but when we're back, we're going to hear more from Corey Fair, all about how to transform your life, no matter what you're going through.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hi guys, we're back here with Corey Fair. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. You're listening to Light on Living. And really, this show really is about living. Like, come on, I gotta brighten up and live and just really be shiny and happy. And I love that, Corey, your story is taking us to a place where it's raw, it's honest. And not only are we talking about just drug addiction throughout the show, but we're also going to talk about food addiction and stuff, because Corey, my question I really am so excited to ask is, and we'll get why, but there's addiction and then there's habit. And I'm trying to find that there's a fine line between the two, because, and I'll share with you why I'm asking this mostly, is because there's a big social acceptance now around quite a few different drugs and wine and drinking and all that kind of stuff. Taking Tylenol, like it can become a lifestyle and socially accepted, but how do we know when it really is a habit or an addiction?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think when a habit starts to become negative, then it's an addiction.
Oh, I like that.
When it's starting to affect your life in a negative way, then obviously that's not a good thing. Let's just take food, for example. I've struggled with body image and binge eating for years now. And, you know, obviously we have to eat, and I love to eat. But at the same time, especially the last couple of weeks, I've had a couple, you know, holiday meals. And, you know, you got to splurge once in a while, but just eating like, you know, stuffing yourselves with turkey and dressing and potatoes and all that stuff, it's a really good thing at the time, but just the guilt after that I feel, it's hard. It really is. Mm-hmm. There's a fine line there. And I know a lot of people struggle with food, but yeah, whatever the habit is, if it starts to affect your life in a negative way, then yeah, I think you got a problem.
That is a great way to say that. I love that. And, oh, wow, did you ever touch on a tough one? Because I never thought about somebody with a food addiction. It's not like with alcohol. We don't need to have alcohol every day. So when we're choosing to have it, like, you can stay away from it, right? But food, like, that's the, like, probably one of the toughest ones, because we do have to eat. And so you're being forced with dealing with possibly this addiction or this, you know, love affair that you can't stop, while still having to eat. That is so hard. Oh my gosh. So can you share with us your journey with food lately? Because you literally, again, transformed. Like, you are like a transformational coach, because you've just done something crazy, like hard, I would think. Okay, share with us what you just did with your food and that journey.
Well, I can definitely identify where my body image and binge eating came from. When I was little, growing up, I got picked on a lot. And then when I got into high school, I hit a growth spurt and started working out shortly after high school. And then I got bigger, and then I never got picked on after that. However, the damage was already done. So that led to me having body image issues, like wanting to be, you know, big and strong and tough looking and intimidating, so people wouldn't mess with me because of how I got picked on when I was young. So that definitely... that's the reason for my body image. And then the binge eating ties into that a lot, because, you know, I like to look a certain way. And if I, you know, peg out on McDonald's and pizza, then I gain body fat and I don't have that look that I want. So it's a fine line. Like, I do eat healthy 99% of the time, but every once in a while when I, you know, if I'm in a bad mood or I'm, you know, I'm definitely an emotional eater. So I'll peg out on something to, you know, to remove that feeling, and then I end up feeling even worse because of the stress or the guilt that I add to myself for eating that, right?
Yeah.
And I know that's very, very common. You know, that's why the food, or the term comfort food, is there, right? Because we eat to get rid of those feelings and to feel a certain way, and then it backfires. You know, 20 minutes later, we feel like crap from eating the food, but it's even worse inside of our heads from the guilt.
Yes. You know, you're making me really think about people who, buyer's remorse. And I was just thinking this only, but not like, because sometimes some people go shopping, like instead of eating, their therapy is shopping, but really they didn't have the money in the first place. So they're going into debt. So it's even into our habits financially, but the guilt is really big, isn't it? Like, shaming and guilt, like, why are we so hard on ourselves? Like, it's so, I wondered, like, it doesn't feel good. So why are we doing it? Like, what causes that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. We are definitely our own worst enemies. And, for myself, you know, ever since I was little, I've been really, really hard on myself. And, especially in addiction, when I did hate myself, I was like, you know, the way I talked to myself, it was not pleasant at all. And, you know, most of the population is like that. And unfortunately, that's just human nature. But now, yeah, now loving myself, like the self-talk I have now is all good and positive and just goofy stuff. Like I look in the mirror and I do mirror work, like just talking to myself, and I have like sticky notes all over my house and in my mirror that I read on a daily basis. And that all helps with a positive mindset. And, you know, some people, that sounds kind of goofy, but it absolutely works. Especially if you have low self-esteem, which I used to have big time, right? Stuff like that, it really does help. And if you can change your thoughts, that changes everything. You know, world's not going to change. You have to change.
Yeah. You know, I love that you were talking about, you know, being hard on yourself. And you kind of just made me come up with a word when I was thinking about that. I was like, yeah, it's because we either place expectations on ourselves or we believe others have placed those expectations on us, which nobody even has the right to do that, but we give them that power. Like when people are being bullied or picked on, other people are expecting you to respond or react or be better than you are. And then we hold ourselves so accountable to what we think other people want from us. And you can't live up to that, right? Like it's really neat that you talk about, I love the word, the term self-talk, because that's really all there is, right? Like it's what you're saying to yourself about what other people are saying, about what you're thinking. It really is paying attention to, is that where you started? Is like, would that be the first thing you started with, or did that not come to later with the self-talk and the positive languaging?
As soon as I quit the drugs, I'd say within a couple weeks, my thinking just got, it just completely changed. Like it used to be extremely negative. Stopping the drugs, it took a couple of weeks to kind of get all that out of my system. And then day by day, it just got better and better. Like everything got better. I've done so many therapies and counseling, and I've become obsessed with personal development and, you know, just doing everything I've doing. It has just completely changed the way I think. And the negativity just does not exist in my life anymore. Even negative people, like I've had to cut out a lot of toxic people from my life, and it's been hard, like some really, really close friends. But at the end of the day, it is worth it. They're just, you know, everyone in my life, they're happy, they're healthy, they're positive, they help lift me up, they support me. And if you don't fit that bill, you're just not going to be in my life. And unfortunately, so many people out there struggling, you know, birds of a feather flock together. If you hang out with a certain crowd, well, what do you think is going to happen to you, right? Like you're just going to be held, you're going to be held down. Nothing's going to change. You have to change those people you associate with. So that's been huge.
I honestly think that could be a workshop all on its own for people, because that is so hard. Like a lot of people have a hard enough time. I remember I would stress out. Like if I went on a date or I was dating somebody and I had to break up with them, I'd be stressing out. Like, oh my gosh, how do you reject somebody? How do you say, no, you're not going to be in my life that way? And so here you are with maybe family members, maybe, you know, maybe your own children, your own parents, your own, you know, spouse. And you've got to say to them, knowing what's best for you, like, I can't be in your life. You can't be in your life anymore. That you need so much support on that. Do you actually offer, is that what part of your coaching that you would help people with to go through that? I think that's so tough.
Yep, I definitely touch on that. And it is not an easy thing to do, especially if they're family. You know, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. That is a really hard one. But at the end of the day, you know, it is well worth it. I would not be where I'm at today if I still had the same people in my life I did a year and a half ago. That is a fact.
That's powerful. Okay, that needs to be highlighted, because there's so many people listening right now. And I know that I often only am able to do some things that are hard because I know that other people have done it before me and successfully, and they've gone through those challenges, and I can, you know, use them as my mentor ahead of me. So I really want people to listen to that. Corey is somebody who literally has changed his life, and he just said it's, if he didn't do it, he wouldn't be where he was. And that is so, so, so powerful. Oh my gosh. It's like if somebody has an addiction, if you don't stop doing that choice of thing, you won't change your life. I guess it's kind of simple in that way, isn't it?
It is pretty simple. But at the end of the day, you know, you have to be willing to put in the work. You have to admit there's a problem. And, you know, until you do that, nothing will change. Yeah, there's so many good people out there struggling with whatever, their mental health, they're in a bad relationship, their job. But again, they just get comfortable. You know, their fear of have a fear of change, fear of the unknown, fear of their own potential. There's a lot of factors that come into play, but nothing will change unless you admit there is a problem and they're willing to put in the work.
You know, I love that you just brought that up about fear of your own potential. If when you were still in the addicted state, did you fear what would happen if you didn't stop? Like, did you ever go, oh, my God, if I don't stop, I'm going to die. If I don't stop, I'm going to lose. I don't know. It's like, what was your fear? What was that motivating fear that actually said, oh, my gosh, I have to stop?
Honestly, Lisa, I'm with the amount of drugs I used to do, I'm surprised I'm still here.
Oh, wow.
When I was probably about 15 years old, I had this really awesome feeling that deep down inside that one day somehow I was going to do something big with my life. And then as I graduated high school, you know, started out in the workforce and moved around a bit, bounced around from different jobs, that feeling kind of faded away. And then in 2007, that's when I went back to college to do a police foundations diploma. And then I started getting that feeling again. And that feeling was, I was going to help someone being physical. I wanted to be a cop or Bruce Power Security and help people. So that was all fine and dandy. And then I went into the military and I injured my back. That was 2013. And after my injury, I got chronic pain and it completely changed who I was. Then came the depression, the anxiety, then the pain pills and started getting addicted to those. And then in February 2016, I had major back surgery and my surgeon sent me home with 400 oxys and that just completely destroyed my life. So from about 2013 up until 2018, my life was just an absolute mess. Depression, anxiety, chronic pain, just extreme negativity. Like I was just completely lost. And then when I got clean, and I started doing the Facebook posts, I started getting the responses. I'm like, oh my God, wow. That feeling I had when I was 15, this is it. This is what I was meant to do. And it's to help other people.
I actually think there's a bit of magic in there because maybe, who knows, but maybe when you knew at 15 you were destined for greatness, you needed to be distanced from your greatness and this was all meant to happen. So this was part of the plan. I don't know, maybe, because now you're able to super do it.
I honestly believe everything happens for a reason. And, you know, when I was struggling with mental health and addiction, I still had that feeling deep down inside that I was capable of so much more. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I was scared of that feeling. I was scared of my potential.
Oh, that's interesting. What does that feel like when you say that, like you're afraid of it, you're scared of that thing, of that feeling that you had greatness in you?
I knew that I was capable of so much more. But like, you know, when you're struggling with mental health and addiction, it just, life is not the same. I knew I was capable of so much more. I knew I had huge potential. But I was just scared that I would never live up to it.
Oh, okay. A failure. That's interesting that potential and failure are kind of the opposite end of the stick, right? And what I feel like when I'm hearing from you is like you're 15 and you're fresh and you're new and you have your whole life ahead of you and you think you're on path. And then as you get older and you start, you know, getting into life and doing stuff, it sounds like to me like one of the fears that could come up for people is that they're running out of time. And I know that sometimes people think, I need to lose 40 pounds because my 50th birthday is around the corner or something like this. And it's like you don't want to leave this earth in this physical lifetime, at least without having achieved something like what you were saying, like that potential that you felt inside of you. And do you feel now that you have a whole new, like a whole new life ahead of you? Like, cause do you feel like you're 15 again? Like, oh my God, I have so much time.
Absolutely. Being in recovery and, you know, diving into personal development the way I have, I'm literally a brand new person. And, the stuff I've done with my life since I got clean has just been absolutely amazing. And, you know, I was thinking this morning about my 2020 goals, and yeah, I've only just begun, and I'm super excited for the future. And, I just absolutely love helping other people. And, you know, I'm living proof. Like, I come from some very, very, very dark times, and, you know, anything is possible if you want it bad enough. And, you know, I got a lot of people, a lot of friends right now who are struggling, and, you know, everyone's situation is different, but I'm friends with a lot of addicts and alcoholics and people in recovery, and the stories I've heard, the things I've seen is just incredibly motivating and inspiring. And it doesn't matter your situation. It doesn't matter how low you are. If you are committed to putting in the work, anything is possible.
And just so people can connect with this, when you say mental illness, which forms were you struggling with, and do you still struggle with those?
I was diagnosed with depression in my early 20s, and then I was medicated for it, and it wasn't an issue until I injured my back, and then the chronic pain pretty much took over my life, and then I got really bad depression and anxiety from it. And I've also been diagnosed with PTSD from my addiction.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, those are the main three.
Oh, that's so interesting. I never would have thought of that. But you can literally, you're right, because it is a traumatic experience to be addicted to something. It is. And that's where that's where, like, that love and compassion, understanding, and oh my gosh, wow. I love that you said you're living proof. That's actually a product line that I just love, and I could actually smell it again when you said that. It's so funny how that's exactly how, like, traumatic things, you're so triggered by these things, and there's so much wrapped up in this. You know what, we're going to head to commercial in about 30 seconds, but when we come back, I would love for you to share with people who are listening what recovery looks like, like the process of it, what can be achieved in it, how does it happen, and who can help you through that part of it. So when we come back to Light on Living here with Corey Fair, all about recovery.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Way to get to know your partner, yourself, and love more deeply. Download and join today.
Mind connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. I'm connected to you, connected to me.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, how do I know what deeper questions to ask?" And the teacher replies, "When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed." Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to level 2 answers. Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Welcome back, everyone, to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. I have Corey Fair here with us today. And Corey, you're going to laugh a little bit about this one, but I'm a big baby. As we're sharing with everybody, Corey is a personal trainer as well as a transformation coach. And I know that one part of working out that really, I'm never going to love it. I wish I could. Maybe I need to turn my languaging around is the recovery part. Like, I love the working out part, but I know those muscles are going to be sore the next couple days. And it's like so uncomfortable. And so when we're talking recovery, whether it's from a workout, I'd love to hear, how do you explain recovery? And how can we make it look forward almost to doing it?
Are you talking more about recovery with an addiction or more recovery from workouts?
I guess kind of in general, well, we could do both, because as a transformation coach, you deal with everything. So you're going to help people transform their bodies, their weight, their food, their mindset, whether it's from addiction or not. I mean, you're just helping people make a big change. And there is a recovery in that, because you've got to get can you define recovery in general?
I'll talk about recovery from drugs, like in addiction first, because I think that's definitely going to be more important when we're talking about this topic. For me, years ago after high school, that's when the hard drugs started for me. But it was more just a phase of my life. It was what my friends, it was the weekend, time to go out and party. We'd do some drinking, we'd do some drugs, and it was just to have fun. And that's what we did. But those drugs, I was definitely doing more drugs than I wanted to at certain points when I was younger. But those drugs never had a hold of me like the prescription pain pills would later on in life. Now, having said that, I do, go out and party on a weekend, and then, wouldn't drink or do any drugs through the week, and then party again on the weekends. Those 5 days in between, that was abstinence. So you talk about recovery, and then you compare that to abstinence, it is two very, very different things.
Wow.
If you do have an addiction and you are in recovery, there's stuff inside our heads that is broken, and they have to be addressed, like whether it's, childhood trauma or a bad relationship or chronic pain or mental health, whatever it is, it needs to be addressed. And, that's recovery. Like, there's so many people... they call it in addiction to alcohol, for example. Let's just say there's people out there called dry drunks, and those are people who quit drinking but are not recovered. And for me, everything I've done in recovery, I'm part of Narcotics Anonymous. I go to meetings on a regular basis. I surround myself with the right people. I work the steps. I journal. I read every single day. I'm positive and productive, and that's just being in recovery.
That was the best ever explanation. That's so enlightening to me. I love that. And I feel like recovery, I almost want to use the word healed, not exactly, but yes, because you can stay away from something. Even in a relationship, you can, maybe somebody broke up with you and you're still in love with them. You can be forced to stay away, but it doesn't mean that you're healed past that wound. That hurt and everything, like, you have to, recovery really involves healing and nurturing and starting something new.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like, there's, all the stuff I struggled with over the years, like my mental health, yeah, there's something broken in my head and it needed to be fixed or at least addressed, right? So now I've done, you know, I've talked to different counselors and on different therapies and, you know, figured out why I am the way I am and why I was the way I was. And, you know, until you do that, you might be able to quit the drugs or alcohol, but it's probably just going to be a matter of time before you pick that stuff up again.
Yeah. That so my brain is just so excited right now. Oh my God. It's like jumping around in there because I'm thinking of like transformation now to me means like starting something new. Who have you, so you said you went through therapies to find out, you know, why was my brain broken? And did you make a conscious decision of who you wanted to be?
I once I got clean and, you know, started working on myself, started diving into my recovery and started helping other people, it just kind of evolved. Like I didn't really have a goal of, you know, where I wanted to be in, you know, 5 years or who I wanted to be. I just kept on, you know, working on myself and being positive and productive and helping other people. And the more I did that, the more opportunities came my way. And, you know, things are still happening for me every day. And it's just, it's really awesome how, you know, one thing leads into another. And, you know, one of my favorite sayings is everything happens for a reason. And I honestly believe that deep down to my core. And, you know, my injury, as much as those few years sucked being in addiction and struggling with mental health and chronic pain, they truly are like some of the best things that ever happened to me because they gave me the life I have today, which is pretty amazing. So, and that's why, you know, I don't ever make excuses. In addiction, like I said, I was always playing the blame game, blaming it on depression, anxiety, chronic pain, all this and that. And, yeah, you can't play the blame game. You cannot be stuck in victim mentality because, you know, when you're in that mindset, nothing will change. We hear there's three very powerful words in recovery that we talk about a lot: honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And those words, you know, they stem from recovery, but those can apply to anyone in life, anyone struggling with something.
They're a very great vibration to them. I love those words. And what is it? So if somebody, what does it look like to work with you as a transformation coach or a trainer? Like, do they start with you?
When I first started all this, August 2018 is when I got clean and I started doing Facebook posts. It was probably about 3 months after that. I had found my passion in helping other people and I wanted to go back to school at the time to be either in social work or psychology to be a counselor. And then I went back to the local school here to do upgrading and my back pain just, it wouldn't allow me to sit through class. So I was like, okay, this isn't happening. So I started looking into the life coaching stuff and did a ton of research on that. And then I picked the Certified Coaches Federation. I went down to Toronto and got certified through them. It was in March. And then I started life coaching. And then I got doing some personal training again, and I just seen the relationship between personal training and coaching. So now what I do, like I don't focus on one or the other, I combine the two. And like a lot of the clients I work with now, you know, we'll be working out, we'll do a set of bench press, and then we'll sit down, or not sit down, but we'll just rest for a couple minutes, and we'll talk about life, and then we'll do another set, and then we'll talk about life, we'll do another set, talk about life. So it's basically, you know, it's 50-50. It's working out and life coaching at the same time. And that's how I work with my clients.
That's a comfortable. I love it. Actually, the name of your business, your company is Rise Up. I love the way it's spelled, by the way. So it's R-I-Z-E, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Rise up. And you, that's awesome because you are, you're elevating yourself. You're elevating your self-love. You're improving your body. You're rising up and you're standing taller in life and saying, I'm here and I'm good and I'm positive and happy. So this is a neat one. So can you work with people virtually or do you need to see them in person? What's your preferred way to work with people?
I have coached on the phone, but I don't like that. I just, you know, one-on-one, I like to see reactions. I like to see facial expressions. It's just, it's much, much more powerful in person. So I prefer to do everything from my home here in Wyerton. That's where my gym is, downstairs in the basement. So
yes, we want to share that with everybody. So if you're close to Wharton or you're willing to make the trip, I mean, from wherever you are, but you also, what I really love about you is that you share your story so well, and you really exude
Thank
that
you.
Love and confidence. Oh, you're welcome. And are you looking to be a speaker as well? Because, I mean, you are a speaker, so I'm just going to put that out there. So if somebody's thinking, you know, we'd love to have you come and talk to our company or our family or a group of people, is that something that you would do, go and share this with people?
Yes, absolutely. I started speaking about probably 7 months ago, and I love it. I absolutely love public speaking. I love telling my story. There is no better way to get a powerful message out there than, you know, to tell your story in front of a live audience. And I absolutely love it. I've been pretty fortunate. I've traveled around Southern Ontario and did quite a few talks. And, you know, the people I meet and the impact I have by doing that, it's pretty amazing. And I love it. I really do love public speaking. And, you know, we all have a story to tell. Some people have it, you know, they've been through some harder stuff than other people, but I think at the end of the day, we all have a story to tell. And, you know, just by getting outside of yourself and talking about it, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's very, very powerful stuff. And to hold that stuff in, you know, it just holds you back. It seriously affects your life. It affects the people around you. Get that out of you. Talk about it. Like I'm proud to be in recovery. I'm proud to be where I'm at. I'm proud that I beat addiction and mental health. Like, I do not run and hide from that anymore at all.
I love you. That exudes from you. I love that. And that's what I was right now. All the listeners, like, this is what I can imagine, that they're either recognizing that they are in isolation and that they are hiding, and that, whether it's being shameful or that they're so addicted to whatever it is that they just want to continue doing it in their own privacy and not to be. But I love that you say to get people talking. And I really see you doing that. I can see you just being with a group of people and connecting and letting them talk it out and share. And I think it's so important that people need to witness others who are so proud, like you are, to be where you are. Yeah, I haven't had an addiction and I got through it, and you guys can too, and you just need the help. Like, it's so awesome that you're doing this.
Thank you. Something else I'm doing, like, I'm fortunate to own 50 acres. So I've been developing my property for the last couple of years. So starting this year, I'm going to start doing some retreats. So I want to do recovery retreats, mental health retreats, PTSD retreats, just, you know,
yes,
retreats for anyone struggling with something, right? And to get, you know, to get people together who struggle with the same issues, and, you know, talk about it, get it out in the open, support one another. It is so powerful. Like last week I had a mini mastermind group here over to my place for a night, and you know, just
fun.
That we went downstairs and we got up and we told our stories. There's only five of us here, but we got up and we told our stories in front of each other. I got whiteboards all over my house, so we were using the whiteboard and tossing around ideas and just talking about life. And it's just, to get like-minded people together like that, it's huge.
Yeah.
It really
it is. You do. I love that whiteboards run. Actually, that's a great thing where to start right now. Let's invite everybody to your Facebook page. Is it just under your name?
Yeah, I just do everything under my name. And then I do have a website, www.riseup.ca. And Rise Up is spelled with a Z, not an
okay.
S.
Right. Got it. And so it's Corey, C-O-R-E-Y. Fair is not F at all. P-H-A-I-R. And so you guys got to go check out Corey's, because he has so many awesome posts and pictures, and you can see the gym. It's actually like it's a substantial gym. Like, you've got everything going on there. There's nothing that you don't have. So it's great.
Yeah, it's a pretty good setup. I'm pretty blessed.
Yeah, and I love the retreat. So that's actually fun too, and I want everybody to hear that, because you know what, I don't know if it's easy to find retreats for recovery around, but it certainly sounds like something that is of great value that people need to have. And I love this one big word. I feel like people would, I feel safe around you. Like, I feel like I would have the safety inside of myself to reach out to you and say, I'm struggling with blah, 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 and I'm not going to receive judgment from you in a negative way. I'm only going to get support from you. And I think these retreats are going to be something incredible. How long would a retreat be? Like, I know you haven't designed it all yet and they're coming, but like, are they going to be short ones or long ones?
Yeah, there'll be weekend retreats. I'm thinking, yeah, still ironing out all the details, but probably like a Friday, show up around 3 o'clock and then leave around the same time on Sunday.
Okay. And I'm going to ask this question. I don't know if it's a weird question or not. If somebody actually is still addicted and they are currently doing whatever, drugs, eating, drinking, can they, would they still be, can they come to a retreat? Can people still in addiction come to a retreat to get clean, even if they're still doing what they're doing?
No, I would definitely discourage that, because the people, if it is a recovery retreat, to have people coming here and using drugs, it's not a good idea. It's just, everyone's here in recovery, and that's just a dangerous situation. So,
okay. So if they do, if they're in addiction right now, they can still reach out to you, and you can help guide them to some appropriate places that they need to start. And then we can look forward to having recovery retreats and transformation coaching from you.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, this is awesome. Corey, I'm so happy to have spent this time with you. You're so encouraging. I like that. That's encouraging. You're so encouraging.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, well, everybody, please go check out Corey Fair on either Facebook or riseup.ca. That is RIZZE for Americans. And, yes, be a part, get support, don't feel alone. And we've got you. So everybody ready for transformation 2020 goals. Okay. Thanks so much, Corey.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, bye everyone. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.